"This is it," said Hagrid, coming to a halt. "The Leaky Cauldron. Oh, it's a famous place." It was a tiny, grubby-looking pub. If Hagrid hadn't pointed it out, Harry wouldn't have noticed it was there. The people hurrying by didn't glance at it. Their eyes slid from the big bookshop on one side to the record shop on the other, as if they couldn't see the Leaky Cauldron at all. In fact, Harry had the most peculiar feeling that only he and Hagrid could see it. Before he could mention this, Hagrid had steered him inside. For a famous place, it was very dark and shabby. A few old women were sitting in a corner, drinking tiny glasses of sherry. One of them was smoking a long pipe. A little man in a top hat was talking to the old barman, who was quite bald and looked like a gummy walnut. The low buzz of chatter stopped when they walked in. Everyone seemed to know Hagrid. They waved and smiled at him, and the barman reached for a glass, saying, "The usual, Hagrid." "Can't, Tom. I'm on Hogwarts business," said Hagrid, clapping his great hand on Harry's shoulder and making Harry's knees buckle. "Good Lord," said the barman, peering at Harry. Can this be? The Leaky Cauldron had suddenly gone completely still and silent. "Bless my soul," whispered the old barman. "Harry Potter. What an honour!" He hurried out from behind the bar, rushed towards Harry, and seized his hand, tears in his eyes. "Welcome back, Mr. Potter. Welcome back." Harry didn't know what to say. Everyone was looking at him. The old woman with the pipe was puffing on it without realizing it had gone out. Hagrid was beaming. Then there was a great scraping of chairs, and next moment Harry found himself shaking hands with everyone in the Leaky Cauldron.
"Doris Crockford, Mr. Potter. Can't believe I'm meeting you at last."
"So proud, Mr. Potter. I'm just so proud."
"Always wanted to shake your hand, but I'm all of a flutter." "Delighted, Mr. Potter. Just can't tell you. Diggle's the name. Daedalus Diggle."
"I've seen you before," said Harry, as Daedalus Diggle's top hat fell off in his excitement. "You bowed to me once in a shop."
"He remembers," cried Daedalus Diggle, looking around at everyone. "Did you hear that? He remembers me."
Harry shook hands again and again. Doris Crockford kept coming back for more. A pale young man made his way forward very nervously. One of his eyes was twitching.
"Professor Quirrell," said Hagrid. "Harry, Professor Quirrell will be one of your teachers at Hogwarts."
"Potter," stammered Professor Quirrell, grasping Harry's hand. "Can't tell you how pleased I am to meet you."
"What sort of magic do you teach, Professor Quirrell?"
"Defence against the dark arts,"
muttered Professor Quirrell, as though he'd rather not think about it.
"Not that you need it, Potter?"
He laughed nervously.
You'll be getting all your equipment, I suppose. I've got to pick up a new book on vampires myself."
He looked terrified at the very thought. But the others wouldn't let Professor Quirrell keep Harry to himself. It took almost 10 minutes to get away from them all. At last, Hagrid managed to make himself heard over the babble.
"Must get on. Lots to buy. Come on, Harry."
Doris Crockford shook Harry's hand one last time, and Hagrid led them through the bar and out into a small, walled courtyard, where there was nothing but a dustbin and a few weeds. Hagrid grinned at Harry.
"Told you, didn't I? Told you was famous. Even Professor Quirrell was trembling to meet you. Mind you, he's usually trembling."
"Is he always that nervous?"
"Oh, yeah, poor bloke. Brilliant mind. He was fine while he was studying out the books, but then he took a year off to get some first-hand experience. They say he met vampires in the Black Forest, and there was a nasty bit of trouble with a hag. Never been the same since. Scared of the students, scared of his own subject. Now, where's me umbrella?"
"Vampires? Hags?"
Harry's head was swimming. Hagrid, meanwhile, was counting bricks in the wall above the dustbin.
3 up, 2 across, he muttered. "Right, stand back, Harry."
He tapped the wall 3 times with the point of his umbrella. The brick he had touched quivered. It wriggled in the middle. A small hole appeared. It grew wider and wider. A second later, they were facing an archway large enough even for Hagrid, an archway
onto a cobbled street which twisted and turned out of sight.
"Welcome," said Hagrid, "to Diagon Alley."
He grinned at Harry's amazement. They stepped through the archway. Harry looked quickly over his shoulder and saw the archway shrink instantly back into solid wall. The sun shone brightly on a stack of cauldrons outside the nearest shop. Cauldrons, all sizes, copper, brass, pewter, silver, self-stirring, collapsible, said a sign hanging over them.
"Yeah, you'll be needing one," said Hagrid, "but we got to get you your money first."
Harry wished he had about 8 more eyes. He turned his head in every direction as they walked up the street, trying to look at everything at once, the shops, the things outside them, the people doing their shopping. A plump woman outside an apothecary was shaking her head as they passed, saying,
"Dragon liver, 17 sickles an ounce? They're mad."
A low, soft hooting came from a dark shop with a sign saying, "Eyelops Owl Emporium, Tawny, Screech, Barn, Brown and Snowy." Several boys of about Harry's age had their noses pressed against a window with broomsticks in it.
"Look," Harry heard one of them say, "the new Nimbus 2000, fastest ever."
There were shops selling robes, shops selling telescopes and strange silver instruments Harry had never seen before, windows stacked with barrels of bat spleens and eel's eyes, tottering piles of spell books, quills and rolls of parchment, potion bottles, globes of the moon,